Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Sam Legasek.
And I'm Dreadful Dan Gallagher. And we're two old buddies that have lived our life at the edge of the mainstream.
So come join us where things are a little odd.
This is the...
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder.
Hi guys, it's Oddcast. It's me, Dreadful Dan G, once again, here, as always, with the irrepressible... irresistible and iridescent, Sam.
Hello, everybody. How is everyone? How are you, Dan?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, been enjoying a lovely slice of music.
It's in a shit,
indeed. It's our occasional music series where we take a specific artist or genre, and we each present both a solid gold, bona fide hit with a side order of something that we each consider to be pure excrement.
Mm. Which sometimes can be quite tasty in its own way.
Sometimes we like the taste of each other's shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a surprise for everyone when that happens.
So in this episode, the theme is going to be British post-punk indie guitar bands of the 1980s.
Mm.
And to give you an idea, I think, of what I mean, shall we just go straight into my hit, which is The Icicle Works. The Icicle Works with their track As the Dragonfly Flies from their debut album, self-titled album, that was released in 1984. Do you like The Icicle Works, Sam?
I have never even heard of The Icicle Works before this very moment in time. And I really like that song. That was great.
Ah, great. I only chose the theme for this episode because I wanted to play you something by them. I thought you'd like it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I was listening to it going, this could be released today and I'd still think it's fresh and cool. And yeah, it's just great. Like the harmonies were great. The drumming was great. The construction, I guess, or whatever, composition of the song itself was great. Yeah, and I'd never heard it before. That's great. It's cool.
I love that. sorry, got a bad sore throat. I love that chorus.
Mm.
You are what you are.
Mm. That's great.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of Idlewild, especially the track,
yeah?
Listen to What You Got.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that. You say that. It's, yeah, there's something about it that feels quite Idlewild-y. Where are they from? Certainly they're British, but I don't know.
I'm not sure. I think somewhere up north, maybe.
Yeah. Idlewild are Scottish, aren't they? But yeah, I can kind of see that. It's got that, because all Idlewild's choruses are a bit like kind of sing along in a really weird way, even though they're not like chanty or anything.
Yeah. It's
yeah,
melodious.
Yeah, exactly. It's quite like a cool melody like that. But yeah, I think if you took that basic composition of a song and made it like maybe less 80s and more 90s indie, yeah, like some thrashing kind of more indie rocky guitars or whatever. Yeah, that could easily be like an Idlewild track or something.
I just looked, they were from Liverpool. But yeah, I don't know much about them either. This is just an album, you know, I'm always crate digging. And I found this a few years ago and I recognised the name. I think it was about £1.
Mm.
So I picked it up, and it's only recently I was in the mood and I just thought, I haven't listened to that actually. I should put that on. And there were, like 3 or 4 songs. I was going to put something else on here. But then I changed it the last minute. I was like, no, let's go with this one. It's a bit rockier. But I reckon you should check that album out, because there's a few other songs on there that you'll probably like if you were into that.
So I was going to say, are they like well known and I've just not heard of them, or not really?
I think not really. Yeah, I see their name pop up every now and then, but I think they all splintered off and went off and like did stuff in other bands that really weren't that big either. World Party, do you remember them in the 90s?
No.
So yeah, their name comes up a bit, but they seem a bit underrated. They were on Beggar's Banquet, so they were kind of lumped in, you know, with all those kind of bands.
Yeah. That's interesting.
You're next. What are you going to give us, a hit or a shit? Or should we listen and determine? See if we can...
Well, you will decide yourself from me just telling you who it is, I think, before you've even listened to it. This is probably the only track I know by this band, which is the Boomtown Rats.
And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown? Tell me why. I don't like Mondays. Tell me why. I don't like...
Dan, you have a Geldof fan?
No. I don't like him. I don't like his aura, his demeanour.
It's aura. Right.
And I remember I always used to see them doing Rat Trap on Top of the Pops 2. It seems to get repeated a lot.
Oh, really?
And I always used to really dislike that song. I don't know if you see, so obviously you don't know that one either.
I might have done and not even known it was them. I only know this as the, I was about to say Happy Mondays. Oh, God, Jesus, the only Boomtown Rat song. I guess the problem is with this, I should say, is that we chose British bands and it was only until the last second that I found out that, I realised they were Irish, because for a second I was like, hey, Bob Geldof's Irish, isn't he? Are they all Irish? It's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, fuck it. Sorry. So they're actually Irish, but I never understood why Bob, I mean, even like vaguely at the time of Live Aid, and obviously we were only like, what, 4 or something stupid. Even at the time when like I was young and a kid and looking back and everyone talking about it or whatever, I was like, isn't he just the guy God, I did that I Hate Mondays song and that's it. like, who cares what he has to say about anything? And it's like he's made an entire career, his, all his money, whatever. It just, it, like, it can't be just from Boomtown Rats.
Pretty much. Thing is, this song, like, made it in America. So right. That's it. Once you're kind of like made in America, you're charmed, aren't you? Right. I don't think they were ever really that big a deal in the UK. But like, I never really liked their brand of new wave or post-punk or whatever you want to call it. It's very pub rocky to me.
Yeah.
There's something like kind of a bit stolid and drab about it. But yeah.
Well, as well, it feels like completely unauthentic, I think, which is what really annoys me. Like the way he's singing it, the plonky piano at the beginning. I just like every little bit of it. I'm just like, oh God, I just can't stand it. Really don't like it.
The harmonies like on this are really cheesy and a bit naff as well, aren't they, on this one specifically?
Yeah.
But I think this was their big single that kind of broke them. And
yeah. Wasn't it the video, music video? He was in a school.
Yeah.
I got that wrong.
But I think you're right, yeah. Funny thing is, Sam, about the time that I bought that Icicle Works album from the same bargain bin, I did buy two Boomtown Rats albums.
Ugh.
One of which was The Fine Art of Surfacing, which is the album that this single is taken from. And at some point, I was doing like a prune of my collection, trying to get rid of some records. And I was like, oh, those two Boomtown Rats can probably go, but I should probably actually listen to them first.
Right.
And I put them on, and both of them, I was like, there's actually about three or four songs on each album that I quite liked. So I kept them.
Oh my God. Songs that you liked on them?
Yeah.
I mean, I've just not given it time of day. I just hate this song, and that's enough to me just not to listen to anything else.
I mean, quite rightly. But yeah, there is better stuff on that album. I really don't like that either. Diamond Smiles, I think it's quite good. Wind Chill Factor, -0. That's quite dramatic. That's quite a good one.
Right.
But yeah, there is some other rough stuff as well. So
yeah. Oh dear. Well, let's carry on, I guess, with the shitness.
Mining the shit.
Yeah, mine the shit out of this. What's your one? What's your next one?
So, I've gone for something, another band that, I mean, until this week, I'd never heard of them. But I just happened to randomly hear this song and I just thought, oh my God. I think these guys were probably a kind of post-punk band towards the end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s.
Right.
But by the time this song came out, I think, which is like 1987, they have morphed to incorporate pop sheen and some sort of like glam hair metal posturing. So this is Gene Loves Jezebel with the track The Motion of Love.
There's a lot to unpack there. I guess like, okay, so firstly, the music, start with the music before going on to what I just saw in that video. I can see why you hated that song. I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it maybe as much as you hated it. The reasons why is, I mean, it is pure 80s cheese fest. And sometimes I quite like that. Two, the little like, woo, and his little, when he goes really high pitched at the end of some of the choruses. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, what's he doing? But I liked the way that he can't really, it feels like he can't really sing properly.
Yeah.
And I actually quite enjoyed that.
Right.
listening to it. I was like, it feels like a bit like, I don't know, like we're talking about like post-punk, but almost like it doesn't sound quite right. And for some reason that makes it a little bit more interesting for me to listen to.
Okay.
So in terms of the song itself, I can see why, like I would probably never listen to this again, I don't think, but I didn't hate it. Didn't love it. Didn't hate it, Dan. I'm actually all right. To be honest, I think if I heard this a lot during the 80s and it came on, I would actually be like, Martian, I'd be like in my head going, yeah, that's not quite like that.
It feels almost like a Stock Aitken and Waterman song and production. I mean, it's just pure pop, catchy pop, right?
Pure catchy pop. Now, the music video, I just thought, let me ask you a question. Are the two, right, so there's a lot happening here. So the two guys, well, they're all guys, but the two, okay, so they've got a guitarist who's the main singer.
Yeah. Right?
They've also got another singer who's not the main singer.
He hasn't got anything to do.
He's just like singing on the choruses, but it's like, it's just, I was like expecting him to be, because obviously if you've just got a singer, you expect them to be the main singer.
Exactly.
Like, unless they're like a backing vocalist or something in the background that's not really part of the band, or like Bez or something like that. But yeah, so I was like, oh, okay, he's not the singer. The guy's the singer. He's also playing guitar and he's just going to help out. Okay, cool. All right, fine. Then I was like, they look like brothers.
I think they are, yeah. So all I know about this band is basically what I read on Discogs.
Okay.
Which is, it's very sad, Sam.
Oh.
Because there are currently two different groups called Gene Loves Jezebel.
Right.
Each fronted by one of the Aston brothers.
Okay.
Jay owns the copyright to the name in the UK and Michael owns the copyright in the US.
Weird.
So at some point they must have had a falling out and formed their own Gene Loves Jezebels.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
That's so weird.
Yeah. He has nothing to do. So he's just left sort of awkwardly trying to sort of draw some attention to himself with some bad dancing.
Yeah.
The only time I've ever seen this before is like with the Beach Boys, where Mike Love isn't doing the lead, which is actually about half the time. So he's just sort of left prancing around trying to get some eyes on himself. And it's always distracting because it's kind of like a bit, you know, you're aware. So it's always a bit awkward and embarrassing, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, it made me laugh here.
Yeah, it's weird. I guess like the main guy with a guitar, I liked, like they all look like 80s, like posers or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess what I enjoyed more about his thing and the way that he looks very strange is that he kind of leaned more into the, how do I put this, like the more effeminate side of it,
yeah,
which I actually prefer more than it's like, the kind of like cock heavy, like macho thing, which obviously a lot of those bands did.
Yeah.
But like these big hairs, like, but he like went full into like almost like the Mick Jagger or something, even though Mick Jagger was actually something else, but as in like he's kind of doing that posturing, but it's all like a little bit like, yeah, just effeminate. And he's like kissing the air and all this stuff. And I was like, I don't actually mind that so much. When he was like wanking his guitar off like a big dick, I was a bit like, yeah, that's kind of more the stuff I was kind of expecting him to do. But yeah, it was just like, it was a bit mesmerizing just to watch him, which I suppose is part of the, maybe part of the appeal. And yeah, it was unique experience. I like the fact the drummer just literally could not look any more normal. Like he's the most normal looking guy who's just wearing some eyeliner and happens to be playing drums.
He's got a really clean look.
Yeah. And yeah, like the other brother who's kind of moping around with his like chest, like his like open chest or whatever. Like, open chest, not like an autopsy. As in he's showing his torso, let's say. And it's just that classic like teenage boy. Like there's nothing there. It's like just a thin man. Topless.
Sexy.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it just looks like a little boy because he hasn't got any like hair or anything on him.
Sam, 1987, The House of Dolls is the album that you want to be checking out now.
Well, it's my next purchase to dig it out.
What are you going to close the show with?
I close the show. Actually, it's a good closer to the show. So this was quite difficult. I've chosen very mainstream tracks when really, yeah, I should have thought of something that's maybe a bit more special for you, basically. So it's a bit more like, what's Dan maybe not heard, which you've done nicely enough for me. And I've basically not returned the favor until I've just gone, this is kind of what I think. I guess the last track is by one of my favorite bands of all time, especially of that era, the Smiths. So I guess it's tough for me to choose a Smith song because I love a lot of it. I love like 90% of Smith's stuff. I think the reason why I chose How Soon Is Now is because I still find it like a bit ethereal to like the rest of their stuff. And I don't know, just like music generally, it's not even that weird, but it just feels, it feels like there's like a darkness to it.
Yeah.
And it just still feels a bit different like to this day. And even though like I'll go through all the Smith stuff and I enjoy it and I sing along and it all has its own thing and each has its own, you know, uniqueness or whatever. Whenever this song comes on, it just kind of like really pulls me in, I suppose, more than a lot of the other stuff does. And there's just something, about it which just feels like weird. Anyway, what's your thoughts on Smiths and Morrissey, I guess, these days? Is a bit of a, can't, you know, object of controversy, much like everything else.
I'll avoid the Morrissey question. I think this track's amazing. Like you say, it's really different to anything, I think, else in their catalogue. And I did read Morrissey's autobiography. Have you read that?
The recent one.
It was about four years ago,
wasn't it? Oh, really?
I was still working in the publishing world, so.
I thought he said 8 years since ago. Then where he came out and said that he basically had a boyfriend the whole time.
Oh, really? No, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that wasn't that long ago.
Okay.
I've read like Smith's books. But not specifically Morrissey stuff.
Well, he spoke about this song, I remember, in the book, and about how at the time it was controversial. What label were they on? Were they on Rough Trade?
Oh, God, I can't remember.
Or Beggars?
I honestly can't remember, don't they?
Well, whoever it was at the label was basically like, this song is no good. I suppose because it's so different, which is why originally it was the B-side, wasn't it, to William? It was really nothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this is another, like mine, another 1984 song, obviously a vintage year.
Yeah.
But yeah, then I suppose like the weird thing about the Smiths, right, is that a lot of people, especially it seems Americans, think that these compilation albums are like their studio main albums. So I guess it got put on Hatful of Hollow, and a lot of people think like Hatful of Hollow is the best Smiths album, right?
Yeah.
So it had like a new life. And I think then it got released as a single in the States and blah, 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 blah. So it went on. But I mean, deservedly so. Like you say, there's something just like, it's that kind of like throbbing and like thrumming throughout the whole track that's really strange. And it's almost a bit shoegazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I was going to say that's one of the kind of, I guess this is one of the first songs that I listened to where the guitar effect had such a massive impact to the overall song. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't really, as far as I know anyway, I hadn't really like, well, at least nothing, had, if I had listened to something like that, it hadn't made as much of an impact as maybe this did. This was the first time where I was like, how are they like, this is obviously a guitar, but like, what are they doing here? Like, how is that happening? And obviously, I think it's just like a phaser and a delay and all this stuff. It's nothing. It's not like rocket science, but it's used in such a way that it kind of gives this very like weird, unique sound. And it's basically like four chords, essentially, the actual main song. It's not particularly, you know, it's quite a simple song. And yeah, and it's crazy how like, with some guitar effects and stuff, you can make something sound that incredible. And that kind of stuck with me, I guess. And yeah, I guess it is like weirdly, maybe that kind of entry point into kind of shoegazy stuff as part of like my listening journey, let's say. But yeah, I remember as well, like whenever it kind of, it never really, so I guess like start getting to Smiths, I feel like I kind of got into them when it wasn't cool. I don't know if you know what I mean. It's like before they had like a bit of a resurgence. Yeah. So like late 90s, early noughties, I guess. Like, you know, it's kind of listening to them more and more, as you probably might remember.
Yeah.
And then, and then they kind of got cool again. And I remember like I was watching Wedding Singer, if you remember that film, I can't remember when that came out. That might have been like 99, 2000.
Yeah, like sounds about right.
Yeah, and I remember when it came on, I was just like, oh my God, they played a Smiths track. That's crazy. Like some good stuff in that Wedding Singer album, to be honest. I actually quite like that film. It's probably one of my favourite Adam Sandler ones. And it just suddenly like gave that, it kind of came on like a way, it's like a sad bit. I think he's like walking to his house, he's been dejected, whatever. And it's like, and I was just like, my God, this song is so epic. Like, yeah. Just watching this film. And now, like, it's kind of weirdly turned this film on its head. It's only like 5 seconds of it, but I was just like, my God, I just love... it just made me think, realise like how important Smiths are and how great they are just from watching something like The Wedding Singer and it coming in and just, like, blowing that world up. Weirdly. And you still kind of hear it in some songs or, you know, they've got like, oh, here's some, like, indie kid from the 80s in some kind of like Stranger Things type TV show or whatever, and they'll be like listening to How Soon Is Now by the Smiths or something like that, and you're just like, fuck's sake. But yeah, top track by top band,
truly. So that was good to have a bona fide classic that we can both agree on to wrap things up here.
Yeah, exactly. Some good good stuff there, and I'm looking forward to listening to the Icicle Works a bit more as well. Kind of want to listen to it again right now, actually. it was that bloody good.
In that case, well, I'll let you go and get on with that, and we'll come together again at some point for more hits and shits.
The hits and the shits together. All right. See you on the next one.
Bye. Goodbye.
thank you for listening to Oddcast Movies, Music and Gaming. If you want to get in touch with us or get a movie, album or game put on our list to discuss, then email us at oddcastoddballs@gmail.com or anewwinterpodcast@gmail.com. This is part of a New Winter Podcast Network, so head on over to anewwinter.net to check out our other shows. You can also follow us on Instagram at anewwinter, Twitter at anewwinter, and you can head on over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/anewwinter. Thanks for listening and see you again soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.